Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Thursday, October 17th, 2024. Have your host, James, here with you. And today we are joined by UW-Madison Extension Wood County's Matt Lippert, agricultural educator. Matt, we've been doing this for years, and it's always good to talk with you. Always learn from talking with you. Appreciate the time. Thanks for being here.
Always a pleasure.
So, Matt, one of the things that I wanted to dive into among a number of topics with you today is how farmers and how our ag industry prepares this time of year for the coming colder months. It's always interesting to me, and I know we've touched on this topic before, but there's always so many layers to it that I, as a city boy, as I've told you before, it's always fascinating to me. And I think our listeners enjoy some of this too. If anything, certainly gives them a little bit more of understanding of what it is to be on the farm and be doing at this time of year.
Well, I think even those who aren't directly associated with agriculture probably imagine the busy season of hope in the spring when you plant and hope the crop develops, and then now we're in that season of harvest. So I work a lot with dairy farmers, and certainly they have more of a not that crop farmers aren't busy every day, but there's more daily responsibility with cattle. And when you're saying about getting ready for the winter, it's been pretty mild. I don't think there's been a huge amount of battening down the hatches yet at this point, but we've been busy on most of our livestock farms. Corn silage is the main forage that they do, and it's a once-a-year harvest. It's not like our hay and haylage that we try to sometime maybe around Memorial Day we start, and then we do four cuttings, five cuttings, whatever, sometimes just one or two. Corn silage is a big deal, a lot of resources, and we're pretty much through that now, but it's very delayed. If you remember the spring, we just rained every day, and the crops didn't get planted, So we have a great loss in the amount of corn, I say silage, right? So the main use of corn, even here in Wisconsin with all of our cattle, is corn that gets run through a combine and is corn for grain. But we do grow, I did a comparison once. It's about the area of Marathon County in the state. So 900,000 acres to 1 million acres a year that gets chopped. Made for corn silage. So it's a big deal.
Yeah.
It's a big area. And that crop was much later than normal. Still some of it happening. You got to wait for the plant to get mature enough to dry down enough so that it's not too wet. And producers can do some things like grow shorter maturity corn to compensate for late planting. But the frost, we now had relevant frost just 2 days ago was a pretty hard frost. So that starts to dry down the plant as well. But we're still in the process of harvesting corn silage most of the way through that. We're pretty well through soybeans, and the corn that is going to be grown for grain is we're still waiting for that to dry down some more. Now, the fall has been very helpful. I mean, years ago, and we talk about climate change, the September 20th was the date where half the years would freeze significantly before and half the days after. So now it depends on which list you look at how many years they go back. But so we just had our really hard frost this last week. So that's about 3 weeks normal, later than what used to be considered normal. And not only is it later, but we had a really nice warm fall. And so the crop did develop, fortunately, more because it needed every day.
Huh. So what about when it comes to cover crops and some of that, Matt? Is that some of what's happening right now or going to be happening?
Yeah. So we're on the northern edge of, we have a lot fewer choices of cover crops to get planted this time of year that'll survive the winter than if you go even 200 miles south, get to like the Illinois border or wherever, they have more choices. But this late harvest on everything also pushes us later for establishing cover crops. But like on our farm, the grain drill's been going pretty steady. They're putting in winter cereals. So at this point, they're switching over to rye. They were doing a plant called triticale or triticale, which is a hybrid between winter wheat and rye. And earlier there was some winter wheat going in, but rye is very hardy. And we plant those others because we think they'll make more abundant, actually we'll harvest them, right, in the spring. Where this date, you might be harvesting the rye next year if you need it, but it really is more about just the protecting soil, recycling nutrients, and keeping life in the soil. So it's more a strictly cover crop purpose than some of the other ones. And we can grow rye. We can plant rye all through December, through November into December, people plant rye.
When it comes to the equipment this time of year, is this the time of year to kind of be able to clean up things that you don't get a chance to in the busier times of year, or just going over maybe upgrading equipment?
So I was doing that little jab against crop farmers that, you know, they don't have to work every day like the dairy farmers do. So certainly a lot of those people have shops and they have significant investment in equipment, and they do a lot of the maintenance on that themselves. And so that's what keeps them busy in the off season. So yeah, they're winterizing, they're putting things back in sheds because you don't want to take the whole winter off and next spring when it's time to go, your equipment's not working. And you know, when we had like the pandemic and we had supply chain issues, you want to know what parts you need to replace because they might not show up. So yeah, there's a lot of people working on getting everything in order and shed. And it's a marvel sometimes if you go in some of these farm sheds how densely the equipment is packed in there. And it's a very unfortunate thing if the door is in the front here and what you want is there's five other implements between it. So there's a lot of thinking that you should use a computer optimizing program to figure out how to stow all those things away.
It's just an interesting conversation to me. I always appreciate this. Now, you mentioned the weather a little bit there, Matt, and certainly every year it feels like we're always going to be talking about the weather and how it affects our crops. How has this season's weather affected what's coming?
Yeah, so I was already kind of complaining. You know, I've been talking with farmers and in agriculture for over 40 years now. And it seems like not every year, but it seems like every other year, it's like this thing that's never happened before.
Right.
You know? And it's like, well, that can't hardly be true. But this year was a year for the records. I think now we were significantly dry in the second half of August up until today. Which on our heavier soils to the north and west of here has been really a blessing. I mean, now people would take a little moisture, but we were just so wet and so consistently wet, and that resulted in, I talked to you about it, first crop should have gotten made around the 1st of June, if not before, and some of it got made after the 4th of July. So just couldn't physically carry equipment out in those muddy fields. And so that crop just gets old and mature and woody and less nutrient dense for the animals. And then you need to cut the crop for it to grow again to get optimum yields. And well, you get a big, poor quality crop, but you've basically given up one entire cutting. So that was a big problem. And then we had, I think we talked a little bit about farmers and crop insurance, and they have a part of their insurance is called prevented planting, that if they didn't get their crop planted by a certain date when is considered kind of the last day for soybeans or corn, that they get an indemnity, they get a payment for prevented planting. And so definitely with all the livestock we have in this part of the state, normally we should be producing most all of our own grain. And this year there will be grain coming in, because you were scanning the news and what to talk to me about, but the crop here in the U.S. in total is expected to be record, near record, both for soybeans and corn. We know there's a little more yield in a trend line every year, but this in the Corn Belt, so 200-300 miles south of us from Ohio to Nebraska, has put in a pretty good year and probably going to be a record soybean and corn bushels per acre. And that means that the prices that people that depend on that for a living is not going to be good, because we had good years the last several years. So there's surplus. China hasn't been buying quite as much. So there's talk of an ag recession in the media that I read. And it's like, well, the livestock people aren't experiencing it, but the people that, because there's basically two classes of farmers, those that are growing crops and those that are feeding livestock. And the prices that farmers are getting for corn and soybeans and wheat are pretty poor. And so we're looking at hard times in the cash grain areas.
We have heard some recent stories, including some here at Civic, about the cranberries and the increase of them. Thank goodness we've had Thanksgiving right around the corner, because we've got a really big influx of cranberries right now, it seems like.
Well, cranberries are harvested in the fall, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a great picture, the blue skies, autumn colors, blue water, and then bright red fruit. So if you go historically, we start harvesting fairly early in September, and we're past peak now. But there will be some fruit on some of the larger operations that have many, many acres to cover. They'll still be harvesting for a while. So, and it is there is seasonal demand there too, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, if you walk into your grocery store in May and you go and look for bananas, you're going to find them. Mm-hmm. But if you go look for fresh cranberries, you won't find those. They're a seasonal item that is only offered September, I'd say by the 1st of January, you're looking at the very last of that product. So you can buy those and take them home and freeze them yourself. But to buy fresh fruit, that's a seasonal thing. And so peak time is Thanksgiving Day. Growers have done a great job of extending demand throughout the year. So it's not just in cranberry relish or cranberry jello mold. It's in the craisins, the sweetened dried cranberries, generic term, in the juices, in baked things, in savory things. We find them everywhere, but this is a season where most consumption happens.
Mm-hmm. One of the ways that you can help your cranberry growers out there with this, because another thing that has happened for the grower out there is an increase in competition from the articles that I've been reading, and some of that is coming from Canada. One of the ways, whether it was some of the other things that Matt has been touching on, or just in general, and especially with all these products, buy Wisconsin-made products, support your local farmers and your local ag industry, any chance you get, everybody, especially, again, Thanksgiving right around the corner. You can't have Thanksgiving without cranberries. I'm pretty sure that's in the Bill of Rights. I'll double check that. But support local and support our Wisconsin ag industry, and always be looking for that Made in Wisconsin label. We're speaking with UW Extension's Matt Lippert, our ag agent. And Matt, another thing that I wanted to touch on, another big story that had come up recently, there was an abrupt closure of the Pure Prairie Poultry's processing plant. That was a tough one. That has Wisconsin chicken farmers scrambling on this one. This story is noteworthy in part because of some of the recalls and some of these things that happen to farmers from time to time, and some of the concerns that come up with that one. Now, I don't know if this is necessarily your wheelhouse or anything, but I am curious about when this kind of thing happens in general to a farm, and what that can be like for that particular farm or just the industry.
Mm. So I'm going to go back to dairy a little bit. Wisconsin has laws. If you sell your milk to a cheesemaker, a co-op, or an independent, there are laws in Wisconsin that there's a fund, and also everybody that buys milk from farmers has to report to the state their financial solvency. And I shipped to the largest cooperative in Wisconsin, and they have to send me a letter once a year that say, what would happen should we fail? And actually, their message is pretty scary, because it's like, we are the largest. If we would fail, there wouldn't be sufficient funds in the state fund to take care of you.
Yeah. Wow.
So there is, but actually, being the dairy state, we have more provisions to protect dairy farmers from that sort of thing than even in Minnesota or other states. So now and then you'll find that either they lose their market suddenly, or they ship their milk and didn't get their check. It's really a pretty rare thing, but it does happen. Mm-hmm. So I do know about this just marginally. Actually, social media has told me about these chickens in western Wisconsin. So this involves a bankruptcy. A farmer has a barns with chickens in, and that relationship in the whole poultry industry is some have argued that the power is not entirely equal between the producer and some of these places. This one not, but some of them are very large. Some of the largest names, you can look them up in agriculture, and they process the poultry. And they often also provide the birds to the farmer, and they provide the feed. So the farmer has the investment in the barn, which is significant. Hmm. And they have to take care of those animals every day. And if there's a problem, storms or disease or power outage on a hot day, and they all get too hot or something like that, the farmer often assumes quite a bit of that risk. I mean, the contracts aren't always entirely fair.
Yeah.
But in this case, I'd say that's the thing, is that the people had a contract that's not being honored. The chickens have to be fed, and chickens grow very fast. They're not very old when they're ready for broilers or ready for market. Hmm. It's not like 2 years on a steer
Sure.
It's weeks, you know. And so when they're ready to go, I'm saying the story about this big, powerful processor and the little guy farmer, but the processor obviously wasn't doing very well because they went bankrupt. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't actually know what the insurance protections are for this grower, but they have put on social media that come and get these chickens. And they are getting much larger than when they would normally be sold. There is a sell date when they're scheduled to be produced for, but they are still getting bigger.
Oh, yeah.
And so if you get on your social media and look, there's still, I'm guessing a day ago, I heard 20,000 or there's people going. And we had the same thing when the pandemic started a little bit. If you remember, the big slaughter plants, those people were considered, what was the word? Essential workers.
Yes, essential. Yeah.
And, they were in close proximity, just their work. And so some of those places, had to shut down because they had COVID go through them. Mm-hmm. And then that backed up the whole chain that there were pigs ready to go to market that couldn't get processed. So this isn't COVID, but it's a similar thing. It's very unfortunate. Yeah. And it really taxes the local resources as far as, can I process them on my own? Well, maybe I can really work hard and I can do 20 birds, and there's 20,000 of them out there, right?
Yeah.
But people coming far and wide collecting these birds.
Matt, I appreciate that. I know that it's not necessarily, something that you knew inside and out. So I appreciate the conflict. And I did not know that about chickens. I always learn when I'm talking to you and stuff. I didn't know that they were that quickly going to be harvested, if you will.
Very fast turnover.
I didn't realize that. I wanted to wrap on a positive. And Wisconsin State Cranberry Growers Association announced the governor's proclamation of Cranberry Grower Appreciation Week that is running right now until the 20th. Celebrate cranberries in this area. Again, you've got a perfect holiday to celebrate coming up right around the corner. And while you're supporting the cranberry industry, support our ag industry and always buy local, support local. Everybody encourage you to do that and certainly learn a little bit more about the ag industry any chance you get, like you can in these interviews where when we have Matt join us. Always appreciate the time, Matt. Thank you so much for joining us today. If people have follow-up questions, they want to know some more about some of these things, I may even reach out to you with some follow-up questions as I just find this industry very interesting. How can they reach you?
Yeah, so the extension office is in the courthouse, ground floor, and the number there is 423-8440. You can reach us if you Google Wood County Extension. You'll find the whole UW system and every county office and the connections there. So
yeah. You can find them, the website, extension.wisc.edu, extension.wisc.edu. Go there and you should be able to find all the information you're looking for. Matt, looking forward to talking again real soon. You take care.
Thank you.
We'll have more Midday Magazine for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio.